did good. Amen. All right. Amen. Am I on? Hey, am I doing so? Hey, should I use the mic? Hey, can y'all hear me? All right. So if I feel, I might sound a little muffled. We're trying something. We're testing the waters, right? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for showing up and showing out. We appreciate you so much. You're so amazing. I just pray, God, that you continue to reveal yourself to each one of us so we know that you reside inside of us. And you work so hard to let us know that you love us. And you show us in so many different ways that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, just continue to pour your love inside of us. And so we can pour your love inside of others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 So I'm excited again today. I was so blessed this weekend. I had such a marvelous weekend. Two wonderful things happened. One, I had an opportunity to go to Atlanta and be in Atlanta with my daughter. We had a father-daughter date in Atlanta. So we went, and it was just amazing, right? So to hang out with my daughter, right? She's my twin. So it was a great time. I went down there. She said my money didn't spend while I was in Atlanta. So she paid for all my food. We went to all those nice restaurants and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, hey, and I kept my money in my pocket. I praise the Lord. Right? And then y'all know I got the thrill of my life. I had the opportunity to see my Gamecocks. So we got a chance to see the South Carolina Gamecocks. They played the number 11 team in the country, and we won. So we had a 5 new girls, so we're all excited. So we're on a journey. So I'm feeling pretty good today, right? I'm just excited. I got a text the other day from DeAndra, and it just warmed my heart. And I was just in Ontario to see the working of God, how God works in mysterious ways, right? And I was listening to the song that the praise and worship team was singing, and when it says, late in the midnight hour, God is going to turn it around. Everybody said, late in the midnight hour, God is going to turn it around. Then they said, we're blessed. He said, there's going to be trouble. Trouble don't last always. So they had the world in an uproar, you know, with the political issues and the food stamp situation. And people was gathering around. I got so many phone calls. I was already working in conjunction with some of the caterers around town to figure out what we was going to do, right, to try to meet this need. But God always does what God do, right? And so we have to always remember that God is always in charge. And every resource, now, you don't hear me, because some of you all in the audience have this mindset. But I just want you to know, everything in the universe belongs to God. The issue we have is some people get it and they try to govern it like it belongs to them when it really belongs to God. God never, ever, really, ever intended for us to have this welfare system where people come in and we have to ask you for something and or you deny people jobs so they don't have jobs so they have to go out and get food stamps and all that kind of stuff. God really never, ever, ever intended for that to happen. So what happens is in the hearts and minds of men, when men's hearts are darkened, right, greed sets in, and a lot of things sets in, and they put systems in place really meant to really oppress people and really to hold people down as they elevate. But you got to remember, when the writers was writing the Bible, they was telling us about incidents that was going on in the country during that time. And God had the hearts of the people, and the all the people that really had the heart of God operated the way God told them to operate. And he told them it was always going to be people that were going to have, Alex, and some was going to have not. He said, but the ones that have not, you don't have to really worry because the people that have is going to make sure the people that have not have, right? And so when he told even the people that own the vineyards, Melody, and all that, he told them, he says, listen, when you glean the fields, right, make sure you leave some, because some people don't have, and when they come along, I want to make sure they have. And so his intent was that no one would ever, ever, ever need anything when it comes to your shelter, your food, your housing, and all that. So when Jesus comes along, he tried to express it to us and tell us in such a way that in the event that we understand who we are and whose we are, and understand who God is in our life and recognize, he said, you'll never, ever, 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 ever go shelterless. You never go without food. You never go without clothes. So he told us in Matthew, he said, if you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that means if you really allow God to be the governor of your life, right? And so the Holy Spirit is the governor, right, that runs our life, right? And it's like the light switch. We can turn the light switch on and get the power, right? But we can leave the light switch off and the power is still available, but I just don't have access to it, right? Because I won't flip the switch. But I want you guys to know that it's always accessible to you, the power of God in your life. Now, you have to understand that, because when you study history and you study everything, the people that really understood that God operated inside of them, man, was never, ever in need. The people that struggle is the people that don't know, and they depend on others, right? When Jesus, so the title of the sermon is Freedom in Christ. Everybody say freedom? Freedom in Christ. That's the good news. The good news is that Christ, which is the Spirit of God dwelling in the man of God, operating through the man of God, right? There's freedom knowing that God got me and he's operating in me and through me and as me, right? And once I understand that, no devil in hell can stop me, right? There's nobody or nothing or nowhere can stop me when I recognize who I am, whose I am, right, and why, who I'm working for, right? Now, we have to understand that God resides inside of each one of us. That's important. So in John, when John was writing the gospel, right, he says, in the beginning was the Word. Everybody said the Word. So the Word is really the Holy Spirit. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Then he said, and the Word was God. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things, everybody say all things, were made by the Word, right? All things were made by the Spirit of God, all of it, right? Then he says this, and without him was not anything made that was made, right? Now he's talking about the power or the Word of God, which is the Spirit of God operating in the world, right? Then he says this, in him was what? The life is in the Christ. The life, your life, once you recognize the Holy Spirit in your life, man, then you come alive. When you don't know it, you operate as a dead person. Like, you don't know what's going on, so you're really operating beneath your privilege when you don't understand that the power of God is working in your life, and it's in your life to give you life, right? Now, I know my power source. So since I know my power source, I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to be without. I don't worry. I'm not concerned because I know who I am. You got to know who you are and whose you are. Then he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of what? Men. And here's the catch. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness didn't even comprehend it. Sometimes we don't even know. We live in such a dark place, man, we don't even recognize or know, man, that God is working in our life. We've been so messed up, and people got us so messed up, not got us looking elsewhere instead of inward, right? And we're looking elsewhere. Whenever you look elsewhere, man, you can't get, then you can always blame somebody else. But if you ever look inward, it's nobody else's fault but yours, right? So we always looking out and expecting somebody outside somewhere to give us something when God said, I'm working in you. That's why Jesus said the kingdom of God is going to be where? In you. Everybody say in you. That means God is going to be working in you. Now, a lot of us use it, and we talk about it, and we let God use us as we pray for others and bless others, and then we feel like God is working through our life. That's because he says those who believe, right? Because if you don't believe it, you're going to move as though he's not, right? And if you know who you are and whose you are, and you understand the power of God in your life, man, no weapon ever formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper, because God resides in us and there's no weapon greater than him, right? So I don't care what come up against you. I don't care what goes in, what comes out. I don't care what happened. You got to know who you are and whose you are, right? And you got to realize I don't care what they say, it's only them. But he's greater than them. But you also got to remember he resides in all. So I was telling my daughter as we were coming out, I said, everything in the world is about relationships. And so relationship is really about people. It's not about things. That's why you don't get worked up over cars and houses, and because that stuff don't mean nothing, right? Everything is about people, right? And so God doesn't really concern himself with operating in things. He really concerned himself operating in people, because people are going to express him in love, right? And when you get it mixed up, you think that things are you, right? And you put things ahead of people, right? And then once you do that, then you know you twist it, right? So you have to understand who God is in your life and realize that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the same Spirit, everybody said the same Spirit, that resided in Jesus Christ also resides in you. That's why when the writer was telling him, he says, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead also going to bring you back from the dead. Because some of us are in a dead state. So Jesus came, and when he was being baptized, the Holy Spirit said, this is my beloved Son, right, in whom I'm well pleased, right? So then Jesus comes, and he starts teaching. And this is important. And here's what he says. The Spirit, now he started quoting Isaiah chapter 61. For those who want to do more studying, go to Isaiah and you can tie the Old Testament and do it together. He says, so Jesus stopped preaching. Right? This is for you. This is a twofold message, right? It's for you as disciples of his and for you as the child of God. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. All right. Now, why did God give you the Spirit? Right. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, right, to preach the gospel to who? The poor. The poor is all of us who don't really realize who we are in him. So we're poor in spirit, not poor in resources, but we're poor in spirit. So he has to preach the good news to you to let you know who God is in your life. Because if you don't know God is in your life, man, you are poor and in poverty, right? When a person knows who God is in their life, right, then you're never, ever in poverty, right? But he said, I got to preach. I had to come and let you know, because the religious community had taught you something different. That's why he told the religious community you had to repent, because they were not telling the people who they were. They weren't telling the people about the God in their life and the power of God operating in their life, right? And so they was operating from a deficit. So he said, I came to preach it to them, to give them the good news and tell them the gospel and preach the gospel to the poor. Then he says, and he has sent me also to heal the brokenhearted, because some of us, our heart has been broken. It has been broken. Sometimes through a relationship that was really close to us, and we thought we loved someone so much, and we didn't think they would ever do that to us. We didn't think our kids would ever turn on us. We thought our spouse would never turn. I worked hard for my boss, and I did all these things, and I'm just broken. My heart is so broken, and he's come to heal the brokenhearted. He said, I came to let you guys know who you are, because once you recognize the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you'll recognize the enemy working in others. And then you won't allow what somebody else do, man, to impact who you are. So when someone else does something else, you got to realize maybe they're doing their assignment. So listen, my heart won't be broken once I know that you're just a player on the screen. Right? And so now I'm not so attached to you. Right? So Jesus had to tell you that. So as he was preaching to them, he had to let them know, man, who they are in God. What he's trying to do is trying to get everybody to know, Tim, that once you understand about this power of the Christ inside of you, or this Holy Spirit inside of you, right, then your heart will be mended, right? But then he goes on to say, he has sent me also to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to those who are in captive. Some of us, this is important, she's not here, I don't see it, Tony's not here today, right? But Tony came to me and she was speaking. She said, Pastor, we got to do something, because what are we going to do for all these people, man, that's so addicted to situations and they so locked up? I said, until they recognize the God in them. Until they recognize the God in them, I can lay hands on them. We can spit on them on the altar. Right? But until they recognize God in their life, they're going to always be in prison to the addiction that's in their life. And addiction comes to hold you back and not let you know who you are in God. And Jesus said, I came to preach deliverance. He said, well, what's going to deliver you? It is not going to be your friend. It's not going to be the pastor laying hands on you. The thing that's going to deliver you is going to be the Christ in you. It's always an inside job, right? He said, once you understand, I'm trying to give you the power of living. And the power of living is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's why you have to spend so much time in devotion, so much time in meditation, because I got to wake up to Christ that's in me. Because if I can get to Christ in, listen to me. I was telling someone, a young man, I was at the rescue mission, and we was talking about pornography. And I was telling the people about pornography, and I was trying to explain to them, man, the power of the Holy Spirit, man, using pornography, right? And so, and they was looking at me, like you guys are looking at me like I'm crazy, right? Now, but it's important because anybody that ever been addicted, don't you raise your hand. Anybody that ever been addicted to pornography, right? You can take a newspaper. You don't even need the person. You can take the newspaper and look at the newspaper and send your body through a whole transformation. Your entire body can change. Your whole everything can change until you're just looking at a picture. That's how powerful the God is in your life. Just imagine if I put all the energy to God. If it can change, if I can change my entire makeup just by looking at a piece of paper, what can I do, man, with anything that I'm addicted to? I can break any addiction, man, with the power of God in my life. And God said, but you got to recognize I'm in your life. So Jesus is trying to tell you, the only way it's going to happen is you got to recognize the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's why you can't let those idiots out there tell you that you don't have it. Because if they tell you you don't have it, you're not going to believe it and you'll never get delivered. They're going to tell you, I got to lay hands on you. You got to come to the altar. No, you got to make up in your mind that God is your deliverer. Because right? People can lay hands on you all they want, but if you don't believe, you'll never get delivered. So you got to recognize who he is in your life. And people are going to come and tell you, you don't have this, and you don't have that, and you need to do this. That's just your opinion. And just because you said it doesn't mean it happens that way. Right? So that's just your interpretation of it. But I'm telling you, God works inside of us. Now, you know I'm telling the truth because everything that really happens, every change that really happens in your life is because you made it. You made the difference in your life. You decided that I'm going to change the way I woo. Those who change their outfits and change their hair, I decided I'm going to change my hair, not my hairdresser. Because if she changes and I don't like it, I go home and wash it out. But if I like it, I'm going to go around. But it's me. Everybody say me. It's me, oh Lord, that's standing in need. I'm the one. It's me. It's me. And listen, and no devil in hell can stop me but me. The only body can stop me is me. So he said, listen, I'm trying to get you delivered. So Jesus said, all he was teaching. Now, I want you to watch. The good news is about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's why I believe with all my heart that he was showing us that this Holy Spirit, that comes and God said, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased. And you're going to find out in a minute what he's talking about. Then he goes on and says, and recover a sight to the blind. Because some of us are absolutely blind. We can't see. Not blind like everything is black, but I'm living, man, and I don't even see God in what's going on. I don't understand what you're talking about, Pastor Duren. This don't make no sense to me. I cannot see it. And Jesus said, just stick around with me. Hold on, because all the disciples, they can see. He wants to open your eyes so you can see who you are in him. Because you're blind because they got you blinded looking somewhere else for God when God is in here. So I'm looking out there, and I can't never be nothing because you said I can't be nothing because I'm looking out here. But once I look inside of me and then light turns on and my eyes are open, right, then I'm like, oh, I'm somebody now. Then I realize who I am. So now he said, I came to open your eyes so you can see who you are. That's why I'm an example. I'm going to talk to you about him because Jesus come and like, oh, we got to worship Jesus. Jesus kept on directing us to God. He just kept on directing us to the Father. He kept on saying, our Father, right? Our Father, right? Now, he kept on trying to get everybody to understand because the power, once we understand the power of God coming into our life, then the things that Jesus was doing, everything he was doing, Melanie, every power he have, you have. If you don't believe it, then Jesus, don't believe Jesus. Because he said, the works that I do, you'll be able to do and do even greater. But you can't do it if you don't recognize the God that was in me is also the God that's in you. But we believe he's only in him. So Jesus can do everything, but I can't do nothing. I told somebody the other day, man, they said, oh, you wrong. I said, man, they said, you're a sinner. I said, I ain't no sinner. They said, what the swear? I said, that's what they said. That's somebody wrote that. I said, I was created in God's image. I don't have to be what you say I am. Right? I believe I'm his. And I'm going to move like that. Now, I can take what you say and then feel bad and depressed and wear that banner. I don't have to wear that banner. But let's say I do want to wear it, right? Then Adam sinned, and we all sinned. Well, the Bible said when Jesus came, then everybody was saved. Right? So Jesus came and changed the game. So if I believe him, if I was a sinner, I'm no longer a sinner because I'm saved by the grace. What is grace? Grace, you ain't got nothing to do with it. It's all because of him. Right? So now he's operating in me and through me. He said, I want you to understand who you are, because he's trying to create a soldiers, right? He's trying to create a force, man, that nobody can reckon with, man, when they know who they are. Nobody, right? And he says, and to set the liberty, them that is bruised, right? Because some people just in prison, right? You've been in prison. It's like a person in prison want to get released. You've been in prison in relationship. You've been in prison in drugs and different things. But he said, listen, I want to set you free. Listen, anybody who was out there in the world, and then you turn your life over to God, right? And just remember that when he first met you, you were so excited because you was free. And I'm no longer in bondage to all that stuff anymore. Right? Now the problem we have is that those enemies download stuff in our system. And if we don't be careful, our subconscious will run our life. But as long as I'm conscious of the Holy Spirit in my life, my sin nature has no power over me. Right? And nobody else have any power over me. So I'm always, always recognizing the God that's operating inside of me. He said, and the priest, acceptable year of the Lord. Everybody said acceptable year. Everybody said the year of Jubilee. He's talking about the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee says, yes, yes, you owe some money. Yes, you're in debt. Yes, you got it, but you don't have to pay nothing now. He said, your slate is. When he set the system up, he told him, he said, I don't ever intend for anybody to be a slave to anybody. He said, they can work for you for a while, but after, on the day of Jubilee or the year of Jubilee, I want you to free all of them. I'm telling you, man, once you understand Christ in your life, it's your day of Jubilee. Right? Now you're free now. Now you have access again. So now I can start all over. My credit is right. Right? Everything is forgiven. Right? That's the year. He said, you got to tell them who they are. He said, I came to preach all this to you, because once you understand the power, then your world changes. That's why we used to preach in the Pentecostal church. We got to get them people, man, to get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if I can convince you of that, they got to be saved, sanctified, Alex, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? Can't nobody get you saved? Can't nobody get you sanctified? And can't nobody fill you with the Holy Spirit but you? Can anybody do it but you? I can talk about it. I can have you get up and dance. I'm a living witness. I went to a church in Texas, and they had me on the altar, and I was so tired, I just started saying stuff. And they said, he got it. And I was just trying to get to the van to get back to college campus, Johnny. I was just trying to get back to Calvary. I was just trying to get back to temple, man. Listen, I'm telling you, man. The girl got me. She was cute. And I went to church with her. And it was a Pentecostal church. And they said, oh. And the pastor called me out. He knew I was a newbie. And I'm like, no, I'm, look. He said, you got it, NG? And I'm like, hey, thank you, Jesus. Hey. And I was up there for about 30 minutes. After a while, I'm like, I think I'm supposed to say what they said. Like, so I had to say it. I wasn't a bit more saving than the man in the moon. But when I made up in my mind that I was going to turn my life over to God, that's why can't nobody tell me and can't nobody make me doubt him. Can't nobody tell me I ain't got it? Can anybody tell me I don't have it because I don't speak in tongues? Because I don't care what you say, and you can jibble jabber all you want. You can speak in tongues and you blew in the face. I know because I know what Stu Man used to do. And what Stu Man used to do, he don't do no more. And the only thing that stopped Stu Man from being Stu Man, it had to be the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Because otherwise I would have did it a long time ago. When I was at the club, man, dancing, and, you know, they thought I can move and groove, right? And, you know, I was down in college. I went over to my old girlfriend's house in college, right? Me and Lana, and she told my daughter, she said, ooh, your daddy sure could dance. He'd be all over the floor. I was bad, boy. Look, you want to see me dance? She want to dance with me. I ain't dancing with you. He was smooth on his feet, man. I was good. My daughter thought she was light on her feet. I was light. When I liked Johnny, I was bad, right? I was dancing. I would have been saved in, but I didn't know him. I didn't know him until I made a commitment to him. And when I made a commitment, I used to go to the clubs. I quit going to the clubs. I used to shoot dice. I quit shoot dice. I used to gamble. I quit doing all that stuff. Right? I quit all that when the power of the Holy Spirit came into my life. And then I received him. It wasn't because somebody prayed over me. It's because I made a decision to make him the Lord of my life. Now, somebody told me about him. And when they told me about him, I said, holy, are you serious? Can he really work like that? I said, let me try him. And once I tried him, the rest is history. I'm telling you, the rest is history. Right? And so I understand. I want you guys to understand your acceptable year. This is your birthday. Everybody say, this is my birthday. Right? So this is my jubilee today. I'm free today. Listen, the power of God is already in my... Listen, when you got the Holy Spirit, you can be dumb as a doorknob. I don't care. I'm on the internet. I want people to hear me. You can be dumb as a doorknob, can't even spell your name, and you can get a job making $30,000 a year with the Holy Spirit. People got testimony, man, where they dropped out of school and the guy gave them a job and promoted them to the top of the place. They didn't have no education. They didn't go to college. But they had. What happened was they gave their life to the Lord. And when they gave their life to the Lord, watch what he did. He gave them favor. Right? And when he gave them favor, this is a good part right here, Brandon. When he gave them favor, he also gave them knowledge because the knowledge was also already in the universe. So he gave them knowledge how to do the job. And so the people who went to school got mad. They said, how dare? They saying it right now. You put them in because affirmative action. They can't do this. But don't you put them in. Because once you put them in, with the power of the Holy Spirit, they excel. Everybody else. They supersede. You don't know how it happened. I can tell you how it happened. Because once God is in your life and he's operating in you, through you, and as you, no weapon formed against you can ever prosper. Right? I'm not just telling you, just accept Jesus in your life. I'm telling you, when you really believe it, because once you really believe it, you start going inside and you start seeking him, right? And he give you favor, and favor is not fair. God can touch the heart of somebody and somebody to do something for you that they would never do for somebody else who was more qualified. That's what he'll do for you, right? That's what favor do, right? That's the power of God operating in your life, right? The only reason I can tell you that because I know. All right, now, so here we go. All right, here we go. So John, 13 chapter. He said, I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. So Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to be an example to you. Do exactly what I did, right? And watch what I do. He said, all I did was went around teaching people about the goodness of God. And the gospel, he said, I got to preach the good news to those. I got to tell them about the kingdom. He said, now you be an example. And then once they get it and understand the kingdom inside of them, everything's going to change. Everybody said the game going to change. The game going to change. And he was the example. That's why I tell you, it's your what? It's your birthday. It's your jubilee. Right? Because once you get it and you got it, no devil in hell can stop you. So then he said, so faith, everybody said faith. Faith come by hearing. Once you hear what I'm telling you, right? And you hear by the word of God, he said, then the power comes. Because faith triggers something on the inside. It triggers something, then I start to believe. And once I start to believe, it's on and popping in. Right? Because if I can lock it in and I believe it, you can't stop me. Right? And then I get the faith. So so Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus. He says, in whom ye also trusted. And this is the power. This is for the people who out there who mad at me, who's saying that, no, they got to do this here to get the Holy Spirit and all that. Here's what Paul said. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Everybody say, I heard it. The gospel of your salvation. After you heard the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you what? Believe. After you believed it, you were what? With the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, once you heard it, then you what? Believed it, then you sealed with it. Because once I believe it and I'm sealed with it, nobody, nowhere, anywhere can stop me now. Because now the kingdom is operating inside of me, so I understand Christ inside of me. And the same Christ that was in Jesus is now in me. The same Christ that was in Jesus is now in me. Right? So that same Holy Spirit that woke Jesus up from the dead now is operating inside of me. I can't explain why y'all come here. I can't explain it. I can't explain it except God did it. Because God touched your heart. Except Kiana, I called her. I said, hey, Kiana, come. I know why she's here. Because I told her. I called her, right? Now, so then he says this here. But ye shall receive what? Power. Everybody say power. Now watch the apostle. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, right? And ye shall be my witnesses unto me both where? In Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the other. They're going to recognize who you are. Your life is going to be a witness to him. Not only are you going to tell people about him, your life is going to be a testimony. Now, when he said after the Holy Spirit come upon, because you don't recognize it who he is until you believe it. And once you believe it, it's like you endowed with the power. And it comes. Now you can come and listen. That's why he said two or three touching the green. That's why we pray for you. We pray, man, so you'll believe. And you have somebody touching the green. And then I try to convince you, man, to accept Christ in your life and believe the transformation. I had some young people come up here and they pray and the Spirit hit them and they feel good and they leave here and I don't see them no more. Right? And they up here and they crying and they boo here, they give me a big hug and they feel like they're like, and then I don't see them no more. All right? Because the enemy will snatch it right out of you before you leave. So if they don't believe it and they don't get it rock solid, they're going to run off and they're going to get caught up with something else. And now we're in a situation now, man, where all this stuff on the internet is making you weak. People are weak. You got so much. It's like trying to give a baby some food when they're not ready for it. So you're getting all this stuff on the internet that's so deep and your body can't even digest it. You can't even digest it. Listen to me. I read so much stuff, it's crazy. You can't even one person can get on in there and tell you something, man, you don't even know them. And you believe they're telling you the truth. You don't, you can't validate them, right? You don't vet them. You don't know if they're atheists. You don't know if they're crook. You don't know if they're rapists. All you know, they talk good. And a whole lot of people got the gift of gab. And I can read something and quote you. And some people just read it off a screen. You don't know they're reading it. And you say, oh, yeah, I'm telling you. And now I'm scared, Brendan. Here's why I'm scared. Because AI can take my voice now. And I can get up here, man, and not even move my lips. And they can give you my whole sermon. They can put everything in. You think you're talking. You think the person on the internet is talking, and it's AI. And the problem is because you don't read nothing, listen to me. That's why the Holy Spirit will help you discern it. That's why you got to have the Holy Spirit. Because what happens is you can't discern the enemy. The devil is too slick. He'll deceive you. You'll think they're right, and you have no clue. And you'll be arguing. I'm telling you, you better vet them. Now, here's how I'm telling you. Listen, read your history books. So right now in America, Donald Trump and the crew, they said, what we want to do, we want to shut down all the African-American museums. Now, I know some of you guys don't care. Shut them down. I don't care. What they're trying to tell you is, let's erase this part of history. We don't want them to have the knowledge of it. Now, when you don't have the knowledge of them, somebody come and tell you this is what happened, then you end up repeating it. Because you don't know your history. So then they can put somebody in front of you. Do you know they had a man, how they discovered racism? He took skulls and decided what skull was the most beautiful skull. And he said, this person had the most beautiful skull. And then he put us in categories, and we end up on the bottom of the pole and never came back up top. And because he was a doctor, do you know they were paying? Do you know people pay people money, thousands and thousands of dollars to write false research? Do you know people can get on the internet and they can get information and give you AI, you believe it, and all they're trying to do is get clicks? I was telling my daughter the other day, I was messing with her. She said, Daddy, LeBron James finna retire. Man, LeBron James, he about to make the announcement. I said, Nessa, no, he's not. Yes, he is. He got on, and you need to buy this kind of Patron, whatever kind of alcohol. Everybody thought he was finna retire. He just made a statement, and everybody thought he was on. How many people are they paying to tell you a lie and you believe it? Because you don't vet it. So now, those who had a break, they would embrace God and they love God with all their heart. They walking away from the church. They walk because they following all these different things and they think they know something and they don't know nothing. And here's how you know it. Because all you got to do is follow them home. And their life is a mess. They ain't got no power. They stressed out. The anxiety level is off the charts. God don't give us that kind of anxiety. God don't curate that kind of stress in your life. So when you get all worked up and all bent out of shape and all that, you got to realize who operating inside of you. Well, what spirit is that I let in? What portal? I opened up a portal and some came in. Right? And that's why he said it. Now, this is important. He said, now, but you shall receive the power after the Holy Spirit come upon you. Then he says this in Philippians. Then I'm going to wrap it up. Right? Because I wanted to go all the time. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, now watch this here, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Then he says this, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a what? Servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Right? And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Now listen, he said, take this same mindset that Christ had. Don't get braggadocious, don't think you're bigger than life and all that. Humble yourself and become a servant. Let God work in your life. He said, let my life be an example to you. Take the same mindset he had. If you study Christ, for those who read the Bible, who really study it, if you study Christ, now you can't study Christianity. You got to study Christ. If you study Christ, man, all he did, man, was love the hell out of people. He found people, man, that was disadvantaged, and he gave them God. Everybody that he found at a disadvantage, man, he poured God into them. He showed them the power of God. He worked miracles through the power of God in their life to transform them. And then every one of them, when they got so excited, you know what they did? They said, I want to go with you. He said, no, you stay at home and be an evangelist and tell other people. I'm just going to deliver you. I'm going to heal you. Right? He said, then I want you to go on. Right? He wasn't trying to take advantage of anybody. He didn't want no money. He just worked. And that's how we ought to be. Listen, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, I'm not trying to take advantage of anybody. I'm trying to figure out how I can be a blessing in somebody's life. I just want to figure out how I can be everybody to be a blessing. So now, then God said, let us make human beings in our image. God wanted to make us in his image. Everybody's in his image. He wanted to make us, man, so we can have dominion and power so we can operate and represent him. Everybody said, God lives in me. Listen, you got to believe it so much, right, that it would transform the way you think. You got to believe it. You got to believe it with everything inside of you. So anything that come up against you, whenever somebody's coming, you got to know who's in you. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. So whatever the world is bringing up against me, I know who he is in my life. It makes my marriage better, right? It makes my relationship with my job better. It makes me a better neighbor, makes me a better colleague, a better peer, when I know who he is. Because then I don't care how you behave, I'm going to move like he moved in me, right? So you're going to see the God in me. And here's the thing. Don't express God to anybody. Because once you express God to anybody, you can't really get rid of them. Listen to me. Once you really express God to people, you can't get rid of them. Because God is love. I didn't say take your religion and tell people you need to get saved. I said love them. And when you love people, they're going to keep coming around. And then you just introduce them to them. And once you introduce them to them, they say, well, you real for real? And then he comes into their life, and then they what? They start to believe. They say, I want to know the same God to serve you, I want him to serve me. Right? And that's how you change the world. That's how you change your family. That's how you change your spouse. That's how you change your children. It's all about him and you. God loves you so much that he sent his son into the world as an example for us, and that he wanted us to have the same power that Jesus had in our life. And then we won't beg nobody. Everybody say, you won't beg nobody. Listen to me, because your mind, once your heart changed, your mind changed, he'll show you how to make money, how to get money, how to do things. You won't seek after those things, man. You just seek doing right. And then he'll open up the doors. He'll open up the windows of heaven. And some of you guys, if you be honest with him, he gave you so much, man, you just threw it away. He kept on giving me an example. Said, listen, I'm going to show you, I'm working through you. You're like, I don't believe it. So I'm going to blow this and see if he'll give it to me again. Then he gave it to you again. You said, I'm going to blow it again. Then he gave it to you again. Then he blew it again. Then he gave it to you again. Then you say, well, God don't do nothing for me. But if you be honest with yourself and you look in the mirror, you know what I did. And once you understand who he is, you start to move different. You manage different. You behave different. You treat people different. Right? You love different. I want to offer to you all the greatest gift that anybody could ever, ever want. And that's the gift of Christ in your life. If you don't have Christ in your life, today I want to offer him to you. I want to offer you an opportunity to open up your heart and receive God in your heart so he can transform you. And then you don't worry. You don't get bent out of shape, right? You just move as he moves and trust as he trusts. And you won't ever be lazy again in your life. Those who, when you really get Christ, you won't ever be lazy again. Because he doesn't give us a spirit of laziness. You won't sit around and wait for somebody to give you something because he didn't give you that kind of spirit. He says, I'm going to make you the lender and not the borrower. Your whole world going to change. Everybody stand to your feet. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for this opportunity. I want to thank you for loving us unconditionally. I want to thank you for your grace, because it's your grace. We can't do nothing without you. We just have to trust in you. We're not putting no emphasis on no tithing, no offering. We're just putting our faith in you. We just want to give our life to you and trust you, knowing that you're in charge of everything else. And we just want to love the way you love. So, Lord, we ask you to touch our heart. Heal us. Deliver us. Give us our sight back. We just thank you so much, Lord, for Christ and what he's done for us. We love you so much for Jesus and what he's done for us. Thank you for all the sacrifices, all the beatings, all the miscues and everything, just so we would have this moment to give our life to you. So thank you. I praise you and I magnify you. And as we leave this place, Lord, we never ever want to leave your presence. We want to go knowing that you're with us and you're walking with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The altar's open for those who would like prayer. Let somebody just touch and agree with you. You don't have to just touch and agree with you. You need somebody to pray with you.